Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church. Come freely, go safely, leave some of the happiness you bring with you. I'm going to take this off while I'm up on any of these stairs, all right? And I hope that you're okay that if I come down from the stairs, my mask will go back on. I'm trying to make sure that we're all staying safe and we're all being protected and you can still hear me and you'll get used to my face. My name is Pastor Steve Edmiston, and this is my first Sunday here. It's been a long time coming, but it is wonderful to be here. Let us now begin our worship. Please rise for the brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. We continue now with our gathering song, My Life is in You. We sing together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First lesson is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altar, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. They are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great storm, a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains, breaking rocks into pieces from before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after an earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness of that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart.' That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scriptures say, 'No one who believes in him will be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they are not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news.'" The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples go into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the storm, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are Son of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it begins, our time together here. I personally have been waiting for this day for a long time, or at least it seems like a long time. I was talking with the Congregation Council and the call committee in February. It's August, right? Now, we're still not moved into our new home. Not completely. I'm not even really moved into the office yet, although there are all kinds of boxes in there, so I'm not moved in completely. But I am overjoyed to be standing here completely. I want to thank all of you who came to meet me and my family at the meet and greet. I want to thank all of you who voted for me at the congregational meeting. I also want to thank all of you who didn't vote for me because it keeps me honest, all right? I want to thank anyone who was responsible for putting those flowers on the organ in honor of me and my family. That was really sweet. It's good for us, all of us, to begin this settling in process. I'm looking forward to our time together, and so it begins. And this morning in our scripture readings, we have from 1 Kings with Elijah and from Romans with Paul and the church in Rome and from the gospel with Jesus and Peter and the other disciples. They're all trying to tell us about how it is, how it is that God calls us, speaks to us, inspires us to ministry. And it begins at Horeb, the Mount of God. And Elijah is sitting at the mouth of a cave looking for God's presence and looking for God's power. Elijah has been run out of Jerusalem. Elijah had been attempting to proclaim the prophetic word of God to a people who didn't seem to want to hear anything like that. His message, the message that Elijah was preaching, was making all of the comfortable people, all the ones with wealth and homes, with worldly power and prestige, was making all of them uncomfortable. Because he was speaking against worship of Baal. He was speaking against cheating your neighbors and neglecting the poor. And so Elijah's message had fallen on deaf ears, and he'd been run out of town. Today in our reading, he sits in a cave whining. They have killed all your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away. Woe is me. You know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. There he was. What Elijah wants is he wants God to come and take care of all of this. He wants God to come and stop the people from coming after him. Elijah wants God to open the ears of the people he's speaking to. Elijah wants some of that divine power to come out of the clouds and do something. So when God invites him to stand at the opening of the cave, Elijah goes because he wants to see some of that power of God. And then we have strong winds and we have earthquakes. We have fire and they all descend there upon the cave. Powerful, earth-shattering events are happening. But Elijah realized that God is not in any of those moments. Not the ones that he was witnessing. It's not that God can't be in those. It's just that God more often chooses the sound of sheer silence. Or as the RSV translation that I remember growing up, the still small voice that speaks to each of us, calling us to love our neighbor, calling us to care for those around us. You see, it's not about the dramatic or the spectacular, because most of us are never going to be part of baptizing 3,000 people in a single day. Most of us are not going to be there when someone can feed a crowd of 5,000 people with a happy meal. Most of us are not going to be part of healing someone from disease instantly. But all of us can love the people near you, next to you. We can care about that person at work or at school who needs to experience the love of God in their lives right now. See, that's what Paul is talking about with the congregation in Rome this morning. Because many of them in that congregation in Rome, they were convinced that they needed to do something dramatic, that there were certain things that they had to do. Perhaps it was being circumcised or following certain of Moses' laws. But they had to do them. They had to do them correctly and all the rest of that in order to be considered righteous before God. Others in that congregation thought that you had to know specific things or study the strange and esoteric, you know, knowledge. And if you didn't do that, you were going to make the cut before God. But Paul tells those people in Rome, and through them he tells you and me, that righteousness comes by faith and that the word is near us, on our lips and in our heart. It's not something we have to quest for, search for, work out for. It's here. And that word for Paul is always love. It's agape. That amazing, unconditional, exceptional, always willing, and sometimes sacrificial love that comes from God. That word, that motivation is always with us in our lives. And it's not often in a big, dramatic moment. It's waking up in the morning with the chance to follow Jesus and share God's love. It's realizing your neighbor's need for care and being able to meet that need. See, like Elijah, Paul learns and shares that it's not often in the wind or the earthquake. It's not in specific actions or knowledge, but rather the still small voice of God that speaks to us of love for our neighbor, that encourages us to grow in faith. And you see, that's the key for Paul here in Romans, faith. You see, faith for me is a verb. It's an action word. It's not like I have faith and I keep it in the refrigerator by the jar of olives I have for my sister. It's not something we put on a shelf. Faith is how we live. It's how we behave. It's what we do when we believe God's promises for forgiveness and love and salvation. It's what we do when we trust that God is going to keep those promises. You see, we, all of us here who have been washed in the waters of baptism, who have been fed at God's table of grace, we who live as God's children, when we follow Jesus, when we let God's love inspire us and motivate us, then we are living the righteousness that God has given us in Jesus Christ, and we are living our faith. Then we are sharing the love of God no matter how loud it is or how loud we are. And today's gospel gives us another glimpse of some of that same good news. But the gospel story does start with something dramatic and amazing. But it always ends with sharing God's love. Because the disciples are in a boat trying to cross the lake, giving Jesus to dismiss the crowds and spend some time with God in prayer and in quiet solitude. And it all started out grand. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are times when I can almost hear the conversation as they're starting to go across the lake, talking about what they had just seen as Jesus had fed 5,000 people with one kid's lunch, right? About the challenge that Jesus had given them, and they had no idea how to feed that many people, and the challenge to continue to go on and love your neighbor. You can hear all of that as the conversation bounces around, and then the storm came. Winds, waves, lightning, thunder. No matter how hard they struggled, progress wasn't made. They were halfway across when their weariness turned into terror. Because something, someone's coming after them on the water. Now we know it's Jesus because we've heard the story before. And if you haven't heard the story and I just spoiled it for you, oops, sorry. All right. Jesus knew that they were in trouble. Jesus knew that they were having difficulty and they were not making progress. And so Jesus came to meet them where they are. Jesus didn't like jog past and wait on the other side saying, boy, what took you guys so long? Jesus met them where they are. You see, that's Jesus and us every day. Wherever we are, in the midst of storms and struggling, or maybe we're doing well as we care for family and friends and neighbors and strangers. However we are, Jesus comes to us where we are with help, guidance, and a call to deeper living. Because when Peter hears Jesus say, it is I, don't be afraid, his response is, if it's really you, command me to come on out to you on the water. And so Jesus invites Peter to deeper living. Come on out, he says. And the beautiful thing in this story is Peter does. He goes out to him. Peter climbs onto the side of the boat and he steps out onto the lake and he starts walking towards Jesus. Now, each of us have had moments like this. No, I have never walked on top of a lake. But we've all taken that leap of faith and followed Jesus in a way that we never had before. And if you haven't taken that leap of faith even once, I encourage you to listen. For Jesus is always calling us to step out of our boats. But Peter does. He climbs on the side, and he does. He walks on the water for a while, a couple of steps. And then his human side takes over. He sees the waves. He feels the wind. He starts to sink. He cries out for help. That's the amazing thing, all right? Peter's faith is remarkable there because Peter's the one who had asked for this. He had said, call me out. And here he was now failing and sinking. And he still cries out for help, knowing that Jesus is with him, that Jesus will help him and save him and even forgive him. We sink too. We struggle in our lives of faith and still sinking happens. And too often we think, oh no, this is it. God's going to be mad at me now. Or I failed, and what am I going to be able to do? How deep a hole have I just dug myself into? But the truth is this. God is love. And when God calls us to love our neighbor, God never asks us to succeed. God calls us with that still, small voice of that sound of sheer silence. And he calls us with a call to go out into the world. Love our neighbors. But God calls us, knowing that we will sink more often than we walk, but God calls us anyway. Jesus comes to meet us where we are, showing us that righteousness is a gift, and our justification is through faith in the life shown in Jesus, living, dying, and rising again. God never demands that we succeed. God wants us to try. God wants us to listen, to hear the voice, to follow Jesus into the world, sharing love, forgiving one another, and living to build God's kingdom where we can, as we can. See, this is the good news that I get to share with you today. God does come into each of our lives more often in the quiet of daily living than in the dramatic or the exceptional. God comes with a call to love our neighbor however we are able today, right now. And Jesus comes to find us, and then he will call us to even deeper living, hoping that we will try for the sake of others all around us. That is our hope for living as God's children. That is our hope for living as followers of Jesus and as sisters and brothers of one another. And that's a lot of good news for this morning. Amen. Please rise as we confess our faith in the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We will not be passing plates around because it's just safer that way for all of us. And if you have already dropped off your contributions, thank you so very much. If you haven't yet, we have a little moment now when you could come up and do that, or you can just do it as you leave. But we pause briefly in this moment for a time to meditate on our gratitude for all that God has done for us. Please rise and let us pray. God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen. O Lord, confident in your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, for the world, and all who are in need, for your whole church throughout the world. Give courage in the midst of storms so that we may see and hear Jesus calling, take heart. It is I, do not be afraid. May we follow Christ wherever he leads. Lord, in your mercy, for the well-being of your creation, protect waterways, forests, lands, and wildlife from exploitation and abuse. Help the human family endeavor to sustain and be sustained by the resources of your hand. Lord, in your mercy, for the nation and their leaders. In you, O Lord, steadfast love and faithfulness meet, and righteousness and peace kiss. May nations in conflict know the peace that is the fruit of justice, and the justice that is the path to peace. Lord, in your mercy, for those in need. Everyone who calls upon your name will be saved. Accompany all who are lonely. Hear the voices of those who cry out in anguish, and support those who are frustrated in their search for an affordable place to live. We pray for those suffering this day. Lord, in your mercy, for our congregation. You have gathered us here today as your people, and we thank you for this gift. We pray for those who are new to this community, for students and teachers preparing for a new school year, and for those struggling with unexpected hardship. Supply us generously with your grace for our life together. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks, O God, for the saints of the whole church, from all times and places, and for the saints in our lives and in our community, whom you have gathered to yourself. Lord, in your mercy, in the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, for there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out.